Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming to get them put on. We need a new platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics, just shadow the time. Check out the archives and hundreds of the shows. Buddy, you're coming to you to do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we be revived up, it's we represent. All them killers on the mic and we should love to all you fans.
I'm a man-made grind, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Tupac and B, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chop about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
live
forever, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 559 of the Murder Master Music Show. Let me bring on my co-host, Mac J. We got T-Rock in the building tonight. We're going to bring him on in.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm good.
Yeah, I see you had a very, very inspiring post. It inspired me to do a social experiment. I just completed the experiment. It lasted about 15 minutes. I wanted to let it go for about 10 to 15 minutes. Now, what it was I took a picture of Eminem, a newer picture that they have online, and I made a 3-minute video, and the title of it was Eminem. Let me see here. I'll tell you exactly what it was. The title of this video that I put on the Murder Mass Music on YouTube says Eminem responds to MGK in vicious lyrical assault freestyle. I want to leave it up there 15 minutes, man. Within seconds, it had like 50 views. it went nuts, right? And then it had about 200-something views when it was done. So I took it down. But when the people were getting so fucking pissed, they were hitting the dislike button like crazy, because you get 10 seconds into it, a beat comes on, right? You and I know the beat. Anybody that heard FTL, Fuck the Lamestream, knows the beat. The beat comes on, and, you know, it's the Dead Click, the song We Killing It, the first song off the Fuck the Lamestream. And then the picture of the Lamestream album comes up. It says, fuck Eminem, fuck MGK, and fuck the motherfucking Lamestream. And, you know, saying, I did that
click,
to prove a point. I did that to prove a point. And, of course, I took it down, but I just made a post about it, and I said, support your homies that's making music. Support the struggling underground artists that's making music the same way you support these people that have sold hundreds of millions of records. You know, I mean, it's like Eminem could fart in a bottle, and it would set the internet ablaze. I mean, literally, these people are completely mind fucked. It's like popular opinion overshadows everything else, and there's so much shit people are missing. They don't even realize the dope music of T-Rock, for example. This guy's got a catalog that's, you know what I'm saying, almost unmatched. I mean, he's one of the greats when it comes to putting out a shitload of good quality music. You know what I'm saying? He's been doing this for decades now. People like K-Reno, of course. People like Sibo. Isham. These are all guys that have dropped, you know what I'm saying, more than 20 fucking projects. K-Reno's dropped a whole career on a day. He did 7 albums on one day.
In one fucking day.
And then this and year, he's going to drop four on one day before the end of the year is out. So within the next couple months, we're going to have four Chiarino albums going to drop on the same day. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. You got to support your friends that's making music. You got to support these underground artists that's making music the same way that you support the M&Ms. So my experiment worked. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm tired of logging into a social network where I'm trying to promote and network and talk to different people, and all I see is Eminem, MGK. That's all I fucking see. And in my mind, when I see that shit, the only thing I'm thinking about is C-Mob, T-Rock, K-Reno, X-Rated, you know what I'm saying, all these talented guys, man, that are getting overshadowed by that type of bullshit. And it makes me sick.
Right.
Same thing with these cocksuckers burning the Nikes. I want to say this, too, and then we're going to bring on T-Rock. I promise I'll be done ranting after this. Why in the hell are you going to burn your Nikes when you could be giving them to some kid that might need shoes for school? You know, so you can be giving them to the homeless. You could be doing something like that. But no, you want that social media show out fame. You want to be getting likes and pats on the back from your friends. You know what I'm saying? In actuality, you're just a piece of shit. You're going to burn your Nike. And I'm not sticking up for Nike. I'm sticking up for Cap. You know what I'm saying? I support that dude 100%. I don't support Nike 100% because they use child labor. So fuck Nike in that aspect. But what I'm saying is, the guys that are burning the shoes, it's not about anything other than hatred and racism. And that's it. That's what it is. Let's just be fucking blunt and honest and real. That's exactly what it is. They don't like seeing a black man taking a knee during the national anthem at a football game.
Exactly.
And it's ridiculous, and it's beyond me. I don't know why this country is reverting back, you know, decades. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. I want to bring on our guest. I want to get his reaction. I want to see what T-Rock has to say about some of these crazy topics. First and foremost, welcome to the show, T-Rock. How you doing, brother?
Jai, what's good, man?
What's going on with you?
Yeah,
Good to have you back.
I'm glad to be back, man. See things have changed. I'm sitting here riding through the city. Trying to make sure y'all can hear me. I'm plugged in. I'm in the car now. My new car. A new car. You remember that shit?
Hell yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. You're one of the artists to actually do this support.
Yeah, you might want to turn it down in the background. I got a little echo on it or whatever.
You want me to turn my joint down?
Yeah,
it's got a little echo on it.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you. But you got a good loyal fan base, T-Rock. You got people that are going to, every time you drop, you got a good amount of people that are going to buy your stuff every time. How does that make you feel knowing that you got that type of support when so many out there don't?
It's a blessing, man. I mean, especially with the way the game is structured today. Because, you know, we come from an era where, you know, it was the physical sale. The physical sale was very vital. And you know what I'm saying? Before you even got the physical sale, you had to get a lot of listens, you know what I'm saying, similar to what the stream is now. But it was just a lot of more groundwork, you know, a lot more traveling, literally showing up in those stores, you know what I'm saying? We had to do a lot of work. And these days, it can still be done, but one thing I've seen, you know, I heard you were talking about how the, certain major label corporations do things to overshadow a lot of great artists. But, you know, one thing about the structure of the business now, I'm saying this to compare your question, because, like, it's this much of a blessing, you know what I'm saying? If you establish, you don't have to go through the donkey shit, because, you know, every 1,500 streams is a record sale, so a lot of the majors capitalize off of that. That's why you have a lot of artists that go out and just do donkey shit, like, you know, wear dresses and kiss niggas in the mouth and suck guns like they dicks and et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? They do that for a shock value because the shock value sells the record of a lot of these artists. And a lot of cats are using that. That's why a lot of the young cats dress the way they dress and the labels influence it. It's all to sell the record, to get the 1,500 streams, because every 1,500 streams is a sale. So, for example, if I drop a record and I get, you know, say 1,500 streams times, you know, the million or whatever, you know, I got a gold record without selling anything. But a lot of us, you know, we are still artists that can still sell records, you know, and we also get the stream, too. So I'm not saying that to discredit the stream, but, you know how it is. Capitalization, baby. That's what a lot of these guys are taking advantage of, these big time executives and shit. But, yeah, man, it's a blessing, man, just to have it. I'm going to be honest, because, see, I hate to be long-winded with this question, but this first one just mean a lot. Because, see, really, you know, I'm full-time with the music now. I'm just proud to say I've always been full-time. I always rap 24/7. But, like, man, I don't pimp no hoes. I don't sell no dope. I'm not fucking with nobody doing that type of shit. Like, I'm literally in here just making records every day. And the groundwork, man, just with y'all guys, y'all always welcome me, and the fans always buy the music. It's just a blessing, man, to not have to do the donkey shit, you know, to sell the record.
Yeah. I mean, it's all 100% talent. That's what I'm saying. I never heard a black record out of you, never heard one out of K Reno, of course. You know, and the cool thing about it is you guys, you keep, you know, just putting out more music. I mean, when the average artist struggles to put out an album every 3 to 4 years, you guys might drop 10 in that time span or more. One thing I did want to ask you, I want to ask you this on another show. I know you're a very religious man and you take that seriously. When you're writing some of your raps, of course you have clean versions to different songs and you have a whole album, you know, without cuss words, but on some songs, do you ever have, like, you know, problem with that, you know what I'm saying, being that you are religious?
I have had my issues with it.
I'll be honest.
I've had my issues with it, but they only came recently, if I can say. Like, in the early days, and I didn't have no issues at all because, you know, I felt like everything I was doing was right. It was from the heart. See, I'm personally, a lot of cats don't know this about me, but I'll give up the ghost tonight. Like, before I do any song, and I've always been like this since 16 years old, you know what I'm saying, when I started professionally. Before I do any song, no matter how vulgar the topic or positive the topic, I always pray before I write the rap. And I always pray for it to be the best and for it to bless people and things like that. So every time you heard me slaughter hits, it was a prayer before it. You know what I'm saying? Like every rap, even when I was dissing 3-6, not to bring up old ugly stuff, but yeah, even then I was praying before I wrote raps, and I still do it to this day. So yeah, I mean, with me, I just try to make sure I still deliver what I know my people want from me, because it's still about y'all, you know what I'm saying? Just because I go through the changes in my life, I know I still got to deliver for the people, but I also want the message to be more sincere towards, you know, where I'm going. So it is certain things, yes, sir. There are certain things that I would have said back then, I wouldn't say now, but it's more advanced things that I say now that I wasn't ready to say back then. You see what I'm saying? So, like, I dealt with it, but I still got the same format when it comes to that. Because, again, I'm not no preacher or nothing like that, but I am closer. You know what I'm saying? I'm closer to my father these days. So, yeah man, actually, things are better than ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I know some cats, you know what I'm saying, that they don't cuss at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be able to do it. I don't know how. But I guess that's where the creative process comes in.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that level yet. Because that's the thing, like, when you talk about the conviction. See, I still don't have that level of conviction. Because, like, even if I curse, you know, every time you hear a T-Rock record, you know, what I'm saying makes justifiable sense. Even if it sounds wild, that's why a lot of people who play my records, because they know, okay, man, we actually be feeling like this sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, you know, so I feel like that limit kind of keeps that level of conviction down. So I don't feel the conviction to not curse, because really don't. You know, I have records where I haven't cursed, and I didn't curse or say the N-word at all on the Kairos album. You know, I got a gospel record, the Kairos album. So you know, I've done it. But, yeah, man, the cats who do that, you right, man. It's an amazing feat. You know what I'm saying? It's an amazing feat. And I respect it. I'll bring this up, you know, just and beyond race, you know, all of that. I know y'all was talking about Eminem and MGK earlier. You know, I ain't talked to C-Mob in a long time, but I'm going to bring up C-Mob and say, like, with C-Mob, okay, you know, he white. But when I first met C-Mob, I didn't know he was white. I thought he was like a Puerto Rican motherfucker. This was before I met him in person, like on some cool shit. Like, and he was spitting that shit, but like he never used the N-word. And it didn't hit me until I met him. Like, damn, he's white. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of, like, he one of them MCs, like he could kick that shit without using the N-word and without cursing. I know he curses a lot, you know, so he'd get relentless on that shit. He wilder than me on certain songs. But level of skill, you know what I'm saying?
I love
certain motherfuckers
like
that can do that
Jones,
shit.
You know, like yourself, like him, of course, you know, SIBO, cats like that. I like seeing the elevation over the years. I mean, you put out so much product, man. What's your total, you know, for the fans out there that want to invest in the T-Rock company here? Because there's a lot of music.
Yeah, man. It's tons of shit. What was your question again, Fred?
How many albums you got out, would you say?
I honestly don't know, man. I'm going to be real. I quit counting. But yeah. I quit counting because, you know, last time we spoke, I know I was saying I was going to retire and shit. Well, that wasn't last time. We spoke a few times before then. But after that, then I was like, you know what, I'm going to drop some more shit, you know what I'm saying? And then I know it was a point where I was saying I wanted to at least be like one of the rappers with the most albums out of nothing else. And then, again, you brought it up earlier. You had K Reno come through and drop 7 albums in a day. And then I looked up one day and I realized I was on Spotify and I wasn't even looking at my account. I was looking at Mr. Geek shit and I was like, damn, I think he got more albums than me at the time. I don't think he do now. I think I may have passed him, but I may not. I know we are neck and neck if I haven't. But I know it's over 60-something projects. I know I got over 65 albums out on Spotify. Don't quote me, because, see, I'm finna stop in a minute after I get out of this car, and I'm finna count them down. I'm gonna do the accurate. But that's not counting the mixtapes, because it was a lot of mixtapes that we weren't allowed to, you know, release on the Spotify shit. So it's more than that. I know it's more. It was 65 or something close to that on the Spotify shit. So, yeah, man, got tons of records. Tons of records. And even with the,
No, go ahead.
What you was going to say?
I was just that's what pisses me off is the fact that you guys got so much music out there, so much fucking talent. And, you know what I'm saying, Eminem could, you know, say whatever, and the whole internet goes crazy. I said, what are your, I'll let you finish what you were saying, and what are your thoughts on the whole Eminem, MGK bullshit?
Man, well, shit, I'm going to be honest. I want to talk about that, but right before I say that, just with my 65, I'm thinking I wanted to break Nina Simone's record. I think I said that last time because she had like 42 albums. Now I got 65, so, yeah, I did break Nina Simone's record. I feel what you're saying, because it's a lot of big shit going on in the underground while the Eminem, MGK shit does foreshadow. But I'm gonna be real, ugly real. You know, going back to the MGK, Eminem shit. I like Eminem's new shit. You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest, his new shit, I checked it out. I like it. You know what I'm saying? Certain records that Eminem dropped, I was really into. You know, like when the Eminem show? When the Eminem show came out, I still remember around that time. That was close to around the time when Conspiracy Theory and shit like that had dropped. So I still remember my manager, he was loving it. He was like, man, Eminem, shit, he slicks out like you rock. And I was like, yeah. On certain songs, he do. Like, the I'm a Soldier shit, outside of the goofy songs. I love when he get down and dirty with the lyrics, and he don't do the goofy shit. I'm just talking from a consumer's perspective. You know what I'm saying? Because I buy records, too, and I was buying records before I was making records. So I love when he do the gritty shit. MGK, I met MGK a couple of times. You know, I opened up for him a couple of times. You know, I think he a cool dude. You know, took a few pictures with him, you know, politics and all that good shit. So, ain't no ill will with that. But, shit, man, that Eminem shit, I mean, that was a nice diss. You know, I think the MGK shit, it was a nice diss. But, again, I think Eminem just put out a really good record.
There's lyrics involved in that, though. I mean, I can't get mad about that because I'd rather hear something lyrical than some inaudible fucking nonsense that I can't decipher. So I guess
and see that's another thing about the Eminem record. See, one of the main things I like about the new shit, he's saying a lot of shit. I feel like it's a lot of influential. I hate to go racial, but influential black artists should be saying. They have the power to say it. They have the authority to say it, and they won't say anything. What they do, they ride the wave. And you got this boy coming out like a renegade. He like Bernie Mac. You remember when Bernie Mac got on? He was doing the stand-up comedy shit. He was saying a lot of wild shit. Everybody was dying laughing. Yeah. And one of his statements was, I say what y'all thinking. Y'all motherfuckers is laughing because y'all thinking it, but y'all scared to say it. And that's the way he came on his new record. I'm saying what y'all thinking, you motherfuckers are scared to say it. And that is disappointing to me in hip-hop, not to, you know, Eminem, big ups to you. But I feel like it's a lot of other artists that could have said everything he done said already. And now, you know, maybe it may be a few that do that, but it'll look like niggas is jumping on the bandwagon and shit. And it's a lot of wave riders. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I just like the fact he struck back on some real renegade shit. You know, it was a lot of shit. Because, see, my partner, you know, Reek from Area 51, he was just telling me. He the one told me to listen to the record because I hadn't even heard the record. I heard it was out, but I hadn't heard it. And he was like, look, man, he sound like the old you on there. He remind me of you. He doing something you would do. But when I heard the record, I said, yep, he is. But a lot of artists could do this. And they're not doing it. And again, to me, and it's, you know, with our genre, I think it's disappointing, you know. And with MGK is super lyrical. I love his music too, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just really feeling what M doing as far as the message that he bringing out and the lyrical level he's taking it to. But it's a lot of guys that's doing that. And again, you say, like you said, don't get the platform. You know, you got greats. You got K Reno's. You know, you got the C Bows. You got the Tech Nines. You got the T Rocks. You got the C Mobs. You know, and a whole bunch of up and coming people. But yeah, man, I'm looking for, you know, when I listen, I like the voices. I like the voices that I say what y'all thinking and scared to say. I'm tired of rappers. Every time I hear a rapper, he's saying some cliche version of some shit another rapper done said, because he think that's what people want to hear. Yeah, because he was told by a record exec, well, this is what they're buying. This is what they want to hear. When the hell had that worked? What, like,
it's you know, so many careers, you know, throughout time. I mean, every time they tried doing it, I mean, just like when MC Hammer, when he came out, he tried to do a gangster rap album, It just didn't work. People were used to seeing him dance around in big pants and, you know, not try to be the funky headhunter or whatever the hell he was calling himself at the time.
But, yeah,
what
he was called. That's what it was, the funky headhunter. You hit it.
I remember seeing that in the record store. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't buy this shit. You know,
I remember it so vividly. I remember it like yesterday because they was talking about it in magazines. They was like, MC Hammer finna start doing gangster rap. I was like, well, you know, you a kid, you a Hammer fan. I'm like, well, I don't know how this gonna sound or even work, but I can't wait to hear it. So like when it came out, I went to the record store, got it. Like, yeah, I got to hear this just to see. But yeah,
truth be told, man, you know, not to get off into a big MC Hammer conversation, but truth be told, man, I heard that dude's posse, man, when he went to concerts, man, they didn't fuck around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard he's a real gangster. Yeah. And that's the crazy thing, yeah.
You wouldn't think that,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't think that at all. But
yeah, I heard Hammer beat your ass, man. I heard he kick ass, man, like for real.
Yeah.
Like, no shit, we laughing, but I heard he kicked some serious ass.
You know, I'm sure he's more chill now, he's a preacher, but I mean, back in the day, yeah, that's what I heard. But
them boys in Cali, a lot of them boys be banging. Shit, I seen some pictures of Michael Jackson with a bunch of Crips, the way you make me feel, shoot. Shit, you come around certain areas, all the boys, somebody banging, even if you ain't affiliated. You're going to be tied in one way or another. It's real similar like that in the Midwest, too, you know, because that's where a lot of my clique's from. You know, my clique members, a lot of Midwest niggas, you know, and it was the same shit with me, all right? He tied in because he with them. If I'm with a bunch of Vice Lords, then they consider me, you know, that. If I'm with a bunch of GDs, you know, whatever, same thing. It just... You guilty by affiliation, you know, whatever neighborhood you're from.
You gotta have a sense of where you are, who you're around, you know. But a lot of people, you know, they get it twisted. They'll come in from out of town or whatever, and not realize that hey, you should do and say this, it might get you fucked up. But I want to go into a song real quick and take a break. T Rock, let's give them this Deep Covers, man. Tell everybody about this. This project's available right now, correct?
Yes, sir. Deep Covers. That's the new project we got out. A lot of Jack tracks. I'm rapping over a lot of classics. You know what I'm saying? A lot of beats that I always wanted to touch. And I also did a special request for a lot of fans. There were a few fans I reached out to, and they was just telling me certain beats that they just really wanted to hear me kill. So it wasn't a thing to where I'm just going to rap to the recent hot tracks. You know, I usually, you know, when you do a mixtape, that would be the format.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do mainly classics. You know, a few hot
like
joints
that.
That's out now. Yeah. So that, you know, that was the direction that we wanted to go with it. But, yeah, man, you know, I let the fans pick most of the beats that I rap to. Because some of those beats, I'll be honest, Prez, like, y'all want me to rap to that? You know? But I went ahead and killed it and really just love how the project came out, man. And, man, if any of you get a minute, you know, go listen to it. If you can't get the CD, just go on YouTube, type in T-Rock Deep Covers. Stream it. You know, if you want to buy it, definitely go to IAP Store. You know, you can go to RockSolidMusicOnline.com and get it. Yeah, man, it's one of my personal favorites. I'm really into it. You know, the streets is really fucking with it, too.
Man, hell yeah. I encourage everybody listening, make sure to go cop that Deep Covers, you know what I'm saying, and the other 65 albums, if you got that paper like that, you know what I'm saying? Get all that. We'll be right back with T-Rock.
Chuck, Rock Solid Mafia.
Okay.
Y'all know what it is. And I am the president. Welcome to Deep Covers. Here we go.
They say I talk a lot of mad noise. I'm affiliated with grown men and we bully bad boys. Playing this over when I grab toys. I put a level of fear in niggas, you only read a tabloid. I drink beers
smoke weed, rolling with G's, who get keys overseas, living with ease. I'm Nino Brown in the pool, feeling the breeze, with porn freaks and they both look Vietnamese. I love women, inside them where you see me at, the body of a woman is an aphrodisiac. It ain't no homos in the area that we be at, I'm not a gay bachelor, but that's the way a G react. I'm here to blow your deep cover, your weak suckers, or get shanked, beat smother, and sheet cover. Your empire will fall if your feet touch her, financially ready for war, cheap motherfucker. They say when you get money, you're supposed to flex, but niggas too close to kicking your dope for that. So I keep a Glock up under my solo flex, for any nigga even think you propose a threat. Fuck what happened in the past, nigga, fast forward. And if you got a dream, pray to God and mash for it. Been a worldwide nigga way before the passport. Lagging in the penthouse, fucking up a class whore. I got a woman like Cookie, we run the city. Your bottom bitch straight boo-boo without the kitty. My rap lies like voodoo, and I admit it. Cross the mob, we'll do you without the pity. I'm allergic to the fag aura. Niggas wearing purses should be a sin. I put out the gag order and turn it to a tote tag order. Over the A&Rs who made you do it down to die and blast for ya. I'm a bona fide player, the truth sayer. The same face fakes make you out to be a hater. Real G's know the real, you can't fade us. Ask the pimp in the mail, niggas hollering now. Hey, bitch, get off the block. If you ain't trying to help a nigga get off the block, I got shooters on go right off the block. Then move weed by the hoes right off the block. Hey, bitch, get off the block. If you ain't trying to help a nigga get off a block, I got shooters on go right off the block. Then move weed by the hoes right off the block.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. That's serious bars right there. You murdered that cover. You know what I'm saying? Shout out
yeah,
to that.
Man.
You killed it, man, just like Big Pun and Fat Joe did, man. That was a dope version, too. That was classic right there, man. So I take it.
Appreciate it, bro.
Man, that's what's up right there. Now, I know you got more than one project out right now. You know what I'm saying, currently. What else have you put out in 2018?
Man, I'm just realizing I'm going to be real. Like, because, see, I ain't just planning to say, you know, I'm going to put out a whole lot of albums and have them out at one time. But, yeah, let's count. They in my face. The most recent ones, see, we got the Steel Rock Solid. You know, that's my it's my solo album, but it came out on the Six Enterprise, Lord Infamous record label. Rest in peace, Lord Infamous. The Blackout Squad, you know, that's our new group. That's me, Lord Infamous, the Skinny Pimp. So me, Lord Infamous, the Skinny Pimp. We got a new group album out called the Blackout Squad. Y'all stream that too, man. Stream that shit. Or go to the site and buy it. And we also got the Bullet Club that just came out. That's T-Rock and Mossy. You know what I'm saying? It's one of my media homeboys. He real connected on some industry shit. But, you know, he also rap too. You know what I'm saying? So me and Mossy, we got the album out. We got the Bullet Club album. We just dropped that. And, you know, of course, I still got Payback. Technically, Payback is the last solo album to come out on Rock Solid Music, as far as, like, you know, major releases, store releases. So I still got the Payback, the double album, Vengeance and Karma. So right now, where are we at? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 5 new albums out right now. And I got 8 albums sitting in the vault right now. 8 unreleased was in the vault.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah, I got 8 sitting in the vault right now. I got, hell, I can name them. Like, I was just thinking about it earlier. It's good you asked me this, you know, and I'm ready for interview time to go around. I could actually name them. I got the War Against the Machine album. That's my new album, but it's a double album. It's another double album. So that's 2 albums in one. I got The Voice. I got a new gospel record I'm working on. It's not complete yet. So that makes 3. Shit, I also got 2 albums with Dark Capel sitting up in the cut. Me and Dark Capel got 2 records that we still ain't put out. That's 5. I got the Vendetta album. Me and Mr. Ski, that's done. Still complete. We ain't dropped it yet, but it's complete. That's 6. I got a new album with Lord Infamous. I know y'all probably been seeing that poster. I posted on my Instagram and shit. And people wonder, like, damn, is this really real? Yes, it's really real. You know, motherfuckers just don't know how much music people have and shit. And then, you know, I still fuck with Six Enterprise. So, yeah, I go over there. I do some new shit here and there, spice things up. So I got the record with Lord Infamous. And we got a new Blackout Squad album. So that's eight albums.
That's eight albums right there. Now, the Lord Infamous stuff, you know what I'm saying, the group project with Skinny Pimp and the album you did with him, is this all stuff that nobody's ever heard, like this stuff from the vault?
Yeah, yep. It's a lot of shit from his vault, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, one thing about Lord Infamous, and see, this was another reason I was real silent around the time when they was doing the Mafia Stick shit, especially on top of the fact, you know, you had Gangsta Boo and DJ Paul talking a lot of bullshit in magazines, dissing me and shit. But see, me and Lord Infamous had already been talking about doing the Blood Money too. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had already been doing work with him, but I was just respecting the fact, shit, you should do the Mafia Stick shit. You know, I was big up in this shit, and you know, it's your original group. Hell yeah, do that shit. So we had put a lot of those projects on hold, but shit, we had already been working on a lot of shit. You see what I'm saying? So when he put the Mafia Six together, a lot of, you know, Paul even tell you, that was Lord Infamous' baby. That was his idea to get the group back together before he died. Paul was just with it. But Lord Infamous actually was politicking to get me on the Mafia Six record. You know, DJ Paul wasn't hearing that shit, which I knew he wasn't, which I didn't give a shit, but it is what it is. No disrespect to him. He know what it is with me, and I know what it is with him. But it's still respect, so I'm just telling the truth. I'm saying what the fuck it is. So, you know, he politicked to try to get me on the record, you know. The Click niggas is like, hell no. Nah. And Paul wasn't the only one. Niggas is not fucking with T-Rock. It is what the fuck it is. But Lord Infamous was fucking with T-Rock. So when Lord Infamous passed away, I seen a lot of the blogs. Y'all, if anybody got Lord Infamous verses, let us know. DJ Paul want them. But they didn't know most of the Lord Infamous verses was in possession of who? Yours truly. Me.
Yeah.
And them niggas was not trying to do business with me from jump. So why would I tell you I got Lord Infamous music on deck? And we was already working on the shit. So, yeah, the shit coming out. Shit been coming out. You know what I'm saying? We following protocol just like he was still here. But Lord Infamous is my nigga. Outside all that other bullshit, I rock with Lord Infamous because Lord Infamous was rocking with me. And that's no disrespect to 3-6 Mafia. I respect 3-6 Mafia. If it weren't for no 3-6 Mafia, it wouldn't be no T-Rock. But I'm not no ass kisser neither. So I'm not finna run around and kiss no 3-6 Mafia ass, and I know them niggas don't like me. So I'm just stating that shit. So, yeah, it is a lot of new shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of new music. Some of his old shit, you know what I'm saying, we remixed and touched up. You know, it's going to be a whole lot of adventurous shit. But what we want a lot of people to realize,
still alive, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. That's what I was going to say. We keeping the legacy going, but we're not exploiting it. It's not like, you know what, we're just going to take his music and just manipulate it in a bunch of records. These are a lot of records that we already had in process. Like, we was already going to do Blood Money, too. We just calling it T-Rock and Lord Infamous. You see what I'm saying? So, like, Blackout Squad. We was already going to do Blackout Squad. That's why if you hear it's a skit on the end of one of those songs, the Y'all Ain't No Killers on the Blackout Squad, you hear him talking at the end, and he talking about Blackout Squad, and he telling you what he going to do with the shit. We didn't do that on no shit. Like, you know what? We going to keep the beef going, exploit niggas. We did that to let niggas know that this man had this shit in the works. So when you hear it at the end, you see what I'm saying? So when you hear it at the end, don't think, nah, T-Rock and them running around exploiting this man's name. Nah, don't listen to the naysayers and the haters who ain't got shit to do with nothing. Because the man was working. The man had two labels. He had Black Rain, and he had Six Enterprise. And every time he was doing some solo shit, he was fucking with me. Every single time he did some solo shit, he was fucking with me. So with that being said, fuck everything else.
I remember seeing the thing with you, him, and Skinny Pimp years ago. Didn't y'all, weren't y'all promoting that at one time years ago?
Me and Skinny was talking about doing an album together. And see, that's why it was so perfect to go ahead and do the Blackout Squad, you know what I'm saying, just add Lord Infamous to it. Because see, me and Skinny, we had been talking about doing a duo album, but we never just got around to doing it. You know what I'm saying? We never got a chance to do the shit. So it was beautiful to go ahead and do it. And see, like with the Blackout Squad group, you know, we all just get to click up together, you know what I'm saying, up under the Six Enterprise umbrella, keep the legacy going. So it ain't like, you know, I'm bringing in the legends and putting them under Rock Solid Music shit. We keeping the legends up under the brand of the legend. I think it's great integrity with it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing. Big shout out to Skinny Pimp too, man. You know what I'm saying? That's still my dude, man. You know, he always gave love. So it's always, yeah, it's always a pleasure to still be working with him and to work with him anytime, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. We got the homie, Finn. I know he's got a question for you. Then we're going to go back into some more music, and I want to give you the floor. Finn, what's up, brother?
Yeah, what's up? Yes, sir. What's up, Scott? What's up, Mike? T-Rock?
What's going on?
Yes, sir. I got a question about your song Back in the Day. The Choice Is Yours. It was on your first album, Throw Your Neighborhood Up. And can you tell us about this one? And it was a very deep song for me. And can you tell us about this album too, Back in the Day?
Okay, can you repeat the question? Or can y'all tell me what it's
wants to know about the song?
About the song
Choice Is
Yours.
Like how did that come about and everything, and
The Choice Is Yours?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Throw Your Neighborhood Up? Oh,
yes,
wow, that's deep. Okay, that's on my very first tape. Man,
yes,
The Choice Is Yours. That was actually a Christian song. It was a gospel song. I actually used to perform The Choice Is Yours at Cobb Bethel Methodist Church. When I was in church, I performed that song back at church. But that was on Throw Your Neighborhood Up. You know, I would always try to keep something spiritual to reach out to people. But my boy Lalo was on that song. He was part of the original Area 51. He's dead now. God bless the spirit of Lalo. You know what I'm saying? That's my boy. That's my boy. So, like, for you to bring that up, man, you are deep into the catalog. I love that. That song bring back a lot of memories. Yeah, man, I still remember laying that, man. When we laid that song, we was in my boy's basement, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't no punch-ins. You couldn't, you know, like how you could record now. If you mess up, you could punch in where you left off. We didn't have that privilege. My boy, he would set up two tape recorders and put them together, and he had a beat going and had a mic going, and the mic could be turned on. He had the studio mic and shit, but it wasn't no real studio equipment like that. He had a tape player going, two tape players at one time. He record us. We do our first take. If you fuck up, if anybody fuck up, we got to start the whole song over. So, like, back then, you know, we'd be hyping each other up sometimes. If we feel like one finna fuck up, punch in for him, you know what I'm saying? You can hear another nigga in our backgrounds and shit. So, like, we really literally be doing it all one take, like on some Motown shit. So, like, when you hear the Throw Your Neighborhood album up and The Choice Is Yours, like, all that shit is one take. And then we go back and double it up. You know, you have to double up that tape. So, like, he take the tape that we just recorded, and then he put it in the other deck, and he double up the tapes again. So, like, now he doing our double ups on a whole nother tape. You see what I'm saying? So, like, man, it was a great process going through that shit in the early days. We had a lot of fun doing that record, too. And, you know, The Choice Is Yours, how it came about. Again, you know, I've always been big on my spiritual side. I was raised in the church, you know what I'm saying? I'm not ashamed about it. I'm actually very proud of it, you know. And Lalo, he just came through. He was like, man, let me get on that. He had a verse because he was real political at the time, and I still remember he told me. He was like, I don't know if it's just really spiritual, but I think it'll go in because, you know what I'm saying, I'm talking about issues that still tie in with the church, you know what I'm saying? And when he kicked it, I said, fuck that, nigga. You rapping on this motherfucker. Do it. So we did it together, you know, and there you have it. Man, hey, man, that's big for you to ask questions about that song, that's big business, man.
it's real. Very jib song, yes. Also, dope song you was on, it was Catch a Blast, the Prophet Posse album with M. Shad. It was a very good combination. Can you tell us about this one also?
Oh, Catch a Blast.
I remember doing Catch a Blast. I'll tell you my rundown on it. What I remember, I was 16 years old when I did Catch a Blast. Still around, I guess, coming off of the Throw Your Neighborhood Up shit, you know, about a year or two, or, you know, older. Again, 16. And originally, Paul had a whole nother beat because, you know, they had a lot of beats. And they always do remakes. They still do that to this day because they got so many songs. They'll remake a song and had a, you know, more futuristic version than touch up, you know, an old beat. So I think what he had an old beat. Dun, 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 dun. That was how the sample went. Dun, 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 dun. Then I had a whole nother verse, you know what I'm saying? But then I still remember my cousin came in. And my cousin was my manager at the time, T-Love. He was like, man, let Paul hear that shit you was rapping to the end beat. Because you know, you remember the beat that we used was on the end. If you listen to the end album, the first end, not chapter two, but the first end, that beat is like the outro of the whole album. So, shit, you know, everybody was rapping to the shit. It was an instrumental. So I let Paul hear the shit. He played the instrumental, and I rapped the verse. He was like, fuck that, fuck that. He scrapped the beat and shit, the beat he was working on, he scrapped it. And he was like, you finna rap to this shit. He liked the verse so much, he put me on the actual beat. I thought that was real badass. I was like, damn, for real? So he took the Catch a Blast, because he was already finna use Stepping to This Man's You on Catch a Blast on the other beat, right? So he chopped it, he scrapped that shit, put that end beat in and took that same sample, stepped into this mess. He chopped that bitch like T-Rock get in the booth. So I went in that bitch, you know what I'm saying, kicked my verse. I came home, you know what I'm saying, because I still was in school. See, they would fly me out back then. I was in high school, you know what I'm saying, so they would fly me in on weekends, and I knock out a lot of songs and shit for them niggas, and then they would, you know, fly me back, you know what I'm saying, get me back home, because I had to go to school. In high school and shit. So I get back home, I'm in school. One day my cousin called me and said, hey man, they done put M Child on the Catch a Blast shit. The shit badass. He done came with a whole new style. So M Child, hear the shit, he come with a whole new style because he never had really rapped like that. But he was ready. He came through chopping that bitch. And they loved it so much. This is what a lot of people don't know. Like I said, I'm going to give up the ghost tonight. A lot of people don't know, after they heard Catch a Blast, they wanted me and M-Child to be a rap group. But they wanted to put a girl in it, too. They wanted to put a girl in the group. They had another female they was rocking with. They was thinking about signing some red-bone chick. It never really popped. It never manifested. But they wanted us to be a group. But look, this is the corny shit about it. It was corny to me. And, you know, maybe we should have done it. But maybe it was good we didn't. They wanted to call us from the Grapevine again, and you know they still was brainstorming on names. And this is what turned me off too. They wanted to call us Baby 3-6 Mafia, me, M Child, and the girl. And I was not feeling that shit because I love M Child. Because M Child was my boy, still is. That was my nigga. You know what I'm saying? But to call us Baby 3-6 Mafia, I did not want to do it. And I just declined. I said no, I'm not gonna be in a group like that. You know, but I was young. You know, I was only, again, I was only like 16. I said, before I do that, I'll stay solo. But see, if I had done it, they probably would have went ahead and pushed my shit quicker because we was in a group. And back then, you was in a group or you had some type of solidification, you know, you can get your ass in quicker. And that I didn't realize. But when they said that name, and I was like, well, all right, M-Child doing his thing, but I knew me and M-Child's styles were still different. Okay, we clashed and killed these niggas on Catch a Blast, but can we do this shit for albums? And who in the fuck is the girl? That was my whole thing. Who is this bitch? Because I ain't never met her. And can me and M-Child keep this chemistry going? And then when they said the name Baby 3-6 Mafia, I said, hell no. I wasn't feeling the shit. But again, that was years ago. That was
1998. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what would have happened if that would have came out. So that, yeah, but under a different name, though. Would you have done it if it was under a different name?
I believe I would have. Because, again, I was feeling it. Because they was telling me how M-Child had killed it. And y'all hear the song, like, we sound like we could have been a group. That's what I'm saying. Like, now when I look back, yeah, I know for a fact, number one, me and M-Child could have killed it. Because, see, me and M-Child, we was already writing songs and shit together. We had already wrote songs together that never got recorded. Because when I was working on Rock Solid, you know, I was trying to get everybody on my shit. So I was going to niggas' hoods and shit. Yeah, we would write songs without beats. Just be like, hopefully we'll hear a beat to match it. No, so me and M-Child, we had songs together ready to go. But, yeah, when they said that name, it was a turnoff, I'll be honest. I was like, hell the fuck no, because I ain't finna be baby nothing. I'm a little nigga. I ain't finna be baby nothing. That's you ain't gonna put me in the real
Poison Plan, Baby Two Lives Crew.
Yeah.
Too Much Trouble was the Baby Ghetto Boys.
That's what I was gonna get at. And see, that's what I was finna get at. That baby shit, like, it seemed like, in my opinion, I had seen other people try the shit, and it never worked. You know what I'm saying? You had Eazy-E do what? Bitches with Attitude. Remember the bitches he had, the stripper bitches?
Oh, Hoes with Attitude.
Y'all don't remember that shit?
Yeah.
It was Hoes with Attitude. One HWA or BWA. Yeah. It was one or the other.
HWA, yeah.
HWA, yeah. And them bitches was fine, too. You know, that shit didn't work. But then you remember we had Fifth Ward Boys. You had Fifth Ward Boys, but then you remember you had Fifth Ward Juveniles. And this was the crazy shit. I liked Fifth Ward Juveniles. I actually liked the group. I thought their music was tight, but I felt like the name kind of always sold them niggas short. So when they was talking that Baby 3-6 Mafia shit, them niggas probably don't even remember that Baby 3-6 Mafia shit. But I remember it vividly. So, like, I remember it vividly. So when they was talking that shit, I was like, nah, we ain't going out like Fifth Ward Juveniles. Because Fifth Ward Juveniles was tight-ass rappers, but I felt like the name just, like, you know, as quick as you thought it was shunning people toward them, it shunned people away from them. So I didn't want no parts of that shit, even at 16 years old.
Instance where it did work, C6. You know, them guys.
That's better. That's better. And I'll be honest. I'm glad you brought that up. That's better. It sound better. That's a better name.
They are better.
They are C6. Number one. They are the real C6. I ain't kin to them niggas. But them niggas, they are the C6. Nah, for real. Like, I'm big up in them niggas. Like I ain't discrediting shit.
They're
like,
family. Yeah.
And the timing, look at the timing. See, the timing is better, too. See, I don't, like, you talk about some Baby 3-6, the world was not ready for no shit like that, you know. It probably would have been some shit that we had worked on, and them niggas probably would have realized in the middle of it, like, this shit ain't gonna work. And that would have made me even madder. Just being real, it would have made, personally, I would have been even more frustrated about that. So, yeah, you know, but see, C6, that's a whole nother level. I think that shit is just perfect because that's who they are. And then not only that, C6 named themselves. They were C6 before, just being real, yeah, because, we know niggas who know niggas. We know a lot of people who know each other. So, yeah. Yeah,
like,
we know a lot of people who know each other. C6, they named themselves, you know what I'm saying? So that was, they knew who the fuck they was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Pa heard that shit and said, look, I'm with it. And fans was already fucking with them, telling Pa, hey, you need to sign these boys. You need to, hey, they are the next generation to this legacy. You have fans co-signing that shit, and they named themselves. Did nobody get them boys they name? You know what I'm saying? Them niggas came knowing who they were. You know?
You had a group, the Rockefellers, with K-Rock too back in the day.
Yeah, the Rockefellers. That's what we was gonna do. See, when I came into the when I first came into the clique, see, that's what it was. I didn't come into the clique as a solo artist. I actually, when I first got signed, it was supposed to be me and K-Rock. Cause you know, originally K-Rock was in the Kazi. He was in the Killer Klan Kazi. You know what I'm saying? Remember on Life or Death, on the song. Matter of fact, because we was just talking about the end beat. Right after that end beat, you had a Life or Death song, which is the Killer Klan Kazi song. And K-Rock was in the group. That was MC Mac, K-Rock, and Scan. By the forces of God on me, you know what I'm saying? I still don't know the reasons. But right before I came, they was finna make K-Rock a solo artist, and he wasn't in the Kazi no more. And the Kazi was looking for a new member. This was before they put Project Pat replaced K-Rock back then. But K-Rock met me, you know what I'm saying? And when he heard me rap, I had already knew about K-Rock. See, I knew about every member of the group because I used to listen to their tapes and shit. I just really liked the beats. I was like, man, if I could just get a hold of them beats. So I came ready to rap. I knew everybody's style from in and out, but I had my own style. So when K-Rock heard me rap, we like clung to each other. Our chemistry was already just good. We was rapping back to back like we knew each other for years. You know what I'm saying? And he wanted to rap with me. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Because, you know, I had already knew every member. And I knew him from the features and shit like the Money Flow and, you know, the Life or Death and Be a Witness and, you know, shit like that. So I was like, fuck yeah. You know, I rap with him. And when Paul and them heard it, because they knew I was T-Rock, and they was like, well, shit, man, it's like perfect. It's like right on time. So Paul and them was like, yeah, y'all should be a group. So my cousin came up with the name the Rockefellers. You know what I'm saying? My cousin T-Love, he like, y'all should be the Rockefellers. You know what I'm saying? T-Rock and K-Rock. K-Rock and T-Rock, however you want to say it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it was. You know what I'm saying? We was the Rockefellers. See, like, okay, we was talking about Catch a Blast earlier. But see, another song that was on that same album was Bullet With Your Name On It. And see, with the Bullet With Your Name On It song, see, this is what a lot of people don't know. See, Bullet With Your Name On It is a T-Rock solo song. But actually, when I came into the fold, the first day I rapped for them, that's the first song I ever recorded, was Bullet With Your Name On It. But it wasn't Bullet With Your Name On It. It was K-Rock solo song. It had a whole different hook. It had a Biggie Smalls sample. You know what I'm saying? It had a Biggie Smalls sample. And K-Rock had already rapped on it two verses. He had two verses on it. So, shit, I come through. And they was generous enough to let me rap on K-Rock song. So the first verse you hear on Bullet With Your Name On It, see, I'm all about the dividends. Get the end. Sleep with a friend because I'm the only people to spend your money on and et cetera and shit like that. That was the first verse, but K-Rock had deleted his first verse and let me get that verse. And he kept his second verse. So on the original song that you hear is Bullet With Your Name On It, that was the first Rockefeller song we did because K-Rock took his first verse off and gave it to me. So that blessed the group that night. Okay, we got our first song done. You know what I'm saying? We the Rockefellers. So after that, we started writing a lot of songs. But what had happened, he fell out with them. They fell out with him. Something happened. And he was released from the label. You know, remember he went to Fat to Death. He was with Nicky Scarfo. Rest in peace, Nicky Scarfo. Yeah. So he was with Nick.
Say Nick.
So, yeah, so it went from, you remember that song that you rapped on with K-Rock? We finna take that other verse out. We finna make it your solo song. So, look, the irony, and this is another reason I respect the fuck out of K-Rock. Outside of the bullshit, you know what I'm saying, like the real Rockefellers beef and all of that stupid shit that was going on the old records, you know what I'm saying, I respect the fuck out of K-Rock because of this. He brought me in. Bullet With Your Name On It was his song.
It was his song.
He brought me in and they took him off of the song completely and they gave the song to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's respect. I ain't even want to do it. Like, just being, I ain't want to do it. Like, oh, this is just fucked up. But this is the cutthroat shit that happens in the rap business every day. So I'm not saying this to say, you know, this is fucked up shit 3 6 Mafia do. No, this is industry shit. This is what happens daily. But, yeah, he came through, let them hear me, because MC Mac had let them hear my tape. But K-Rock introduced me to them in person. He came through, gave me a spot on his song. We were supposed to be a group. They had a disagreement. They took him off the song completely and said, T-Rock, do a second verse. Now it's your solo. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that about Bullet With Your Name On It. And that was my first solo song to be released, but that was originally a Rockefeller song, but before it was a Rockefeller song, it was a K-Rock solo song. So I got mad respect for K-Rock because he brought me in. And he didn't have to do that. Him and MC Mac, them niggas ain't have to let nobody hear my tape, but they did, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was the only song produced by DJ Paragon, not DJ Paul on this album, also. So the song was different from the rest in the production.
Could y'all tell me what he said, bro?
Yeah,
it was produced by DJ Paragon.
You said something about DJ Paul's production on there?
Yeah, DJ Paragon on it.
He's talking on Bullet With Your Name On It.
Yes, sir.
On Bullet With Your Name On It. It possibly was a DJ Paul beat because DJ Paul did run that session. I'll be real, because Juicy came later. I still remember by the time Juicy came in, I was in the booth rapping, and Paul was in there doing the cues. 1, 2, 3, 4. I still remember vividly. I was 16 years old. But, yeah, Paul did pull the beat up. You know, I didn't see who made what, you know, so I can't really just throw accusations around or, you know, anything like how I used to do in the old records, you know, and say they didn't make what. But, yeah, Paul pulled that beat up. I will say that. That's a definite. Yeah. But, yeah, that was a good night, man. That was a good night. Just talking about this shit bring back some cold-ass memories, you know what I'm saying? We talk about a lot of shit. I was waiting to talk about in my book. I love it, though. Let's keep it going.
Just go back and transcribe this interview, man. You'll be good. But, man, we got a couple tracks I want to give them before we get out of here. But before I do that, you know what I'm saying? Well, the tracks I got are Game Fucked and Bars. You know what I'm saying? Those are two other bangers you sent me. But before we give them those, I want to give you the platform because I know you got a lot of your projects, a lot of social media outlets. And where do people need to go to get all the T-Rock music, man, and give them all your info, brother?
Man, you can check me out, rocksolidmusiconline.com. RockSolidMusicOnline.com. That's the store. That's the online store direct. You can get all the CDs, the hard cases. We even sell the MP3s, the downloads, if you like the downloads and get it quick. And matter of fact, we even got the deal going to where if you buy the hard case of any release on Rock Solid Music Online, you automatically get the download that moment you buy it. But you also get your hard case in the mail. Because we know how difficult it is waiting on that music and everybody is automatically getting their music. You know what I'm saying? So we want you to still have the luxury of the CD, but also have your music on demand. But, you know, I got the Twitter shit. You know, you can definitely get with me on Twitter, T-Rock420. I tweet here and there, but most of the Twitter shit come directly from my artist page. The Instagram shit, you know what I'm saying? We're definitely working on Instagram. Let me get my Instagram, make sure I'm on point. It's TROCK4251. TROCK 42051. No dashes. TROCK4251. So, yeah, man, we out here, man. We working, you know, and definitely if you on Spotify, pull my name up. All the albums will pop up, you know what I'm saying? At least most of the exclusive ones outside of the mixtapes. But if you go to Rock Solid Music Online, You're going to get all of them albums plus a lot of mixtapes and a lot of other extra exclusive shit. Put it like this. It's more than 65 albums on the website. You know?
Yeah, man.
I broke that Nina Simone record, man. 42 albums. I remember she had 42 albums. But, yeah, man. Shit real.
Hell yeah, man. Keep going, man. Keep doing it, brother. I'm so glad you didn't retire, man, because when you told me you did a few years back or you were going to, I was like, oh, nah, man. You're one of the ones the game needs. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like when a good fighter retires from a division that's struggling. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, man, once that guy goes, this division's fucked. You know what I'm saying? You're one of them. Keep fighting, man. Keep making these dope-ass albums and music, man, for real.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it, bro.
Definitely. Everybody get the Deep Covers, man, and everything else. You know what I'm saying? T-Rock, you know, this is bars, man. We're out of here.
Bars. Bars. Hey. I'm a big rap star, I'm a big rap star. I got bars, baby, I got bars. Hit this weed a little bit. Drinking on this in 40.
Yo, sick.
Y'all know how I sound, baby. Young Dave, Mr. 420 himself. I got bars for a hater. And I got bars for the players. When y'all hear this beat, stand up. I got bars for a hater. Been a menace war with your neighbor. Look at my foreign car, a Mercedes. Connected Guatemala, owe me favor. I used to force a bar like I'm Vader. Touch you right at the bar like a waiter. Ain't no love for adversaries. The hollow point smoking you like a guard to your Vega. I'm Atlanta, born and raised. Reaper, I was born a blaze. This for the hustlers who be on the corner paid. Bloodline of a former slave. Finally found out my true identity. Erasing my slave memory of king. When niggas remember me sipping on a cup of Hennessy with a bunch of freaky women inside my vicinity. Listen to the way I flow. You can tell I'm trained to go. Barry, I'm smoking my nigga cause I ain't a hoe. In this life I came to know how to decipher the friendship from the fuck shit. Grown man shit from the tough shit. When the make peace and fucked up shit, I done lust it for the rough shit. If I make real, I bust a hater head. If I feel it's in the code of justice, don't be playing with a nigga bread that'll get you classified. Can't be trusted. What up to my sister Infrared? She a corporate thug, money in a clutch it. Dollars in a nigga dead. If I want him to another life, I'll be abrupted. Bop, bop, bop,
hey.
Bow.
Dollars get a nigga dead. If I want him to another life, I'll be abrupted. Yeah.
Come again, nigga. Hey, I'm from that old baby. Atlanta. We ain't no gay bastards.
Y'all
know
ain't no bastards.
Got
no
game fucked up.
We just some real
run
niggas, man.
And I'ma tell it like the fuck it is. I done did it from day one.
Another classic I'ma ride on. Witness another iconic figure the world put their eyes on. Left for the fake won't survive long. I take your platinum hit and turn it to a classic homicide song. I'm gone. Two incredible great places. Raise the bar to a level they can't take. Don't worry, Atlanta. I'm still real. Understand me. I like it for raw. Superstars wouldn't train it. In my opinion, you got the city looking horrible. Say your name, but I'm too rich, I can't afford it. Ho, step in the portal, pull up my world and leave a shattered man. A real life pimp slapping hand. Don't wanna do it, but I'm glad I can. Machiavelli has just possessed me to roll on your fucking ass like an avalanche. Niggas large like they rich, but really a broke. In every hood, bitch, like she Olivia Pope. A feature from the dawn that'll be 50 or more. Money long as the dealers up in the city, you dope. Baby, I'm still president, no popular vote. In the field where I live, my niggas are trill. No faggot tendencies reveal, we kill at will. And if it's blood getting spilled, it's over the bill. Not just a simple drug deal, in Memphis I feel. At home downtown on Bill with bitches and beer. Who make a nigga feel revered by haters on fear. Lyrically I made a career by any.